Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, a show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now, here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Well, welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm just back from another week at my writing retreat up at the lake. I've been working on my fifth book. I can't believe it's been the fifth book. It's called Scaling Your Speaking Business. So if you're at all interested in growing your business to that next level, I know COVID has maybe shifted your timelines a little bit, but this is a great time to be putting things in place to really help you get there. And all of our programming this fall is on the Wealthy Speaker Podcast is going to be about that exact. Does anybody want to grow? Is anybody interested in growing? I hope so. Now, my special guest today, guest, emphasis on guest, is the one and only Lori Guest. Welcome back, Lori.
I'm so glad to be back.
Now, I say welcome back because back in the beginning of this year, we did one of the most well-received podcasts that we did all year, and it was called Sweet Spot Pricing with Lori and myself. And so if you want to see that, we're going to put a link to it in the show notes for today. To get the show notes, go to speakerlauncher.com, click on the podcast, and you will see links and different things. We'll be putting all of the juicy bits right in the show notes on that speakerlauncher.com page. So, Lori, so much has changed. Oh, my goodness. It's been a wild ride.
I think it was 10 years ago I was on the podcast, wasn't it?
It feels like 10 years. Oh, not 10 months. We've both had, though, we were talking beforehand, that we both had some kind of mindset shifts that have occurred. And honestly, I'm so sick of talking about the pandemic, but guess what? We're still here. It's still, you know, we're still a ways off. So you've had some mindset shifts. Talk about that.
I have had some mindset shifts. When this first came down, my reaction was different than some of my colleagues. My plan was to stand still and see how it all would shake out. I did not run around and scramble for a bunch of changes. I didn't set up any fancier home office, the studio than I already had. My plan was stand still. And I planned on doing that for about a month, and it turned into more like 4 months. Mm-hmm. And I said that by August 1, I would have a plan of what I was going to do, and the days kept going by. And I just really needed a wake-up call. And I talked to a bunch of colleagues, but there's one person I talked to in particular, and it was Meredith Elliott Powell. And she's a friend and brilliant and sassy and scrappy and all these wonderful attributes I could give her. So I just called her up and I said, here's where I'm at. And I explained it. And I said, now I just want you to talk. I don't want you to give me advice. I just want you to talk. And this is what she said. First sentence out of her mouth was my wake up call. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay. She said, if you think that you had something to say as a speaker before the pandemic, you sure as heck have something to say now.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, isn't that? And I know it's a simple statement, but for me, it's like, well, yeah, I really think what I had to say before this was important. I speak on customer service. It is to my core. I think it matters to associations and to small businesses. And of course it matters now more than ever. And it was just that made me say, okay, yes, I want to be back in the game. And to me, a simple statement, but a huge wake-up call. What do you think of that?
Oh my gosh. Well, we were going through something similar because in the first, I would say it took me a shorter period of time to get there, but I've been studying this ever since. So I have kind of two trains of thought that I go by. Strategic Coach Dan Sullivan is a school that I attend. And we did a study on what was your, on a scale of 1 to 10, when COVID hit, how would you rate your confidence with 10 being highly confident? And so I started at about a 3, but I quickly worked my way to an 8. But let me tell you kind of the underlying layer under that. The thought, so this is now going over to Brooke Castillo's camp, which is a study that I've been doing for over a year of mindset work, thought work. My thought was, oh my goodness, my industry's wiped out. And that was not a helpful thought at all. But I quickly was able to switch it probably within about a week or two to people need me now more than ever. And what it was like flipping a light switch. I set an impossible goal of earning a lot of money over the course of the next couple of months. I set the goal for those, that was March. So for April and May, by the end of May, I was supposed to earn a very healthy amount of money. And we did it a month early, an entire month early. And it was honestly just switching the light bulb to recognize that, hey, guess what? People need me. And so I got more clear on who was the perfect customer for me though as well. Has that been something that you found, you know, yes, you knew that people needed you, but did you get more clear on who needed you after this?
I don't think that my who has changed because I'm still playing the inside, the mental game at this point. Mm-hmm. But my second mind shift came in that my superpower on platform didn't exist anymore. So my superpower is in the moment. I watch the audience and if they love where I'm going, I dig deeper and it's not planned out. I just go to my arsenal of stuff and it looks seamless to them. Or if it's going not very well and I need to switch gears, I can do that. So that playing off the audience with my slightly sarcastic sense of humor, the in the moment stuff, that's why people hire me to come back is because right. I'm very relatable. Okay, now I feel like that is all gone because right. now when it's, I'm just looking at a little white light in my webcam all the time and there is no reaction from the people other than if it's live and it's in the chat window, that's not the same. Yeah. And so I really felt like, gosh, what am I going to do here? Because I can't translate it. But what I did do is take a look at, okay, what other superpower have I untapped, not tapped into yet, that I couldn't do on stage? And that's where my excitement is today because my other superpower is the creativity and the kind of the man on the street videos. I love doing those. So I see a restaurant that does something spectacular. I will just videotape it right there and tell the story to the camera unscripted, unrehearsed, and probably without makeup and flat hair. And I'm one of those speakers. I don't really care. This is me having drinks and yeah. look what a fun place this is. And I realized that I would have never put that into video footage and shown it from the platform. Because why would you go and stand there live and show a bunch of videos? That seems mm-hmm. silly. But now, while I'm creating a virtual experience, I can be live part of the time and then say, all right, guys, let me show you what I mean. Let's go to the such and such place. And now I can insert that video. And now it becomes edutainment because we're changing gears every 5 to 6 minutes. And so once I switch that, and Jane, that's only been in the last couple months, all of a sudden I'm excited again. And mm-hmm. I almost feel like I'm a new speaker again, which to be honest with you, after 23 years in this business, I needed a little booster shot of something new. So I'm choosing to see it as, my goodness, if this hadn't happened to me, my business model would look different. And that's where I'm headed next.
That's so good. So question for our listeners is, what's your new superpower? If you feel like your hands are tied in part of this, what's your new superpower? I can so relate to what you're saying about maybe getting a little complacent in your business. So I've been coaching now for over 15 years. I don't know what the number really is. It's probably closer to 10, but over 10,000 hours of coaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting certified in a new model that will help me help my clients become unstoppable. And it's got me excited about the whole thing again, because you know, after a long period of time, it's very easy to just, it's not like we're phoning it in, we're engaged, but we're not fully alive with it maybe as much as we could be. And I think when you introduce something new into the mix, that can be really exciting.
Well, that's how I justify Lin-Manuel switching to Mary Poppins. When you're doing Hamilton, how do you go from Hamilton to Mary Poppins? And the answer is you've been doing it for so long, you have to get jazzed about another part of your superpowers. Yeah. And I think that we, you know, for some people in our good times, we write a new book. You're excited about your fifth book. So you're going to be talking about whatever's in that book. Yes. I'd gone a long time. I had a new book, but I didn't have a new way of presenting. So that's what I've tried to get focused on with this mindset shift.
That is so cool. Well, there's another thing that I really want to point out on this podcast. Let's talk a little bit about money because I have felt as though I have kind of two band camps. One camp is out there killing it, standing tall in their fees, selling packages. You know, it started out as an inquiry for 10K and it ended up at 30K. And then the other camp is, oh, you know, yeah, I'm doing some stuff, but I can't get paid. I'm doing some stuff, but can't get paid. And I really want everybody to try to check in with what the thought process is, because I'm going to guarantee you that one camp has a different thought than the other camp. And if you think you can't get paid, that will become your reality. How do you stand tall? You sell sweet spot pricing. So you offer three packages to your clients. How do you stand tall in your fees? Because you're not giving it away, are you?
I am not giving it away. And actually, I didn't. The closest I came to giving it away is in the very beginning, I did some live broadcasts of my own choosing, almost like a free public seminar. And I did that more to fit the role of, I know you guys have a need right now, and let me try and fill it. Hoping that on down the road, maybe I'm top of mind. Now that I think is fine, because to me, that's a marketing expense. That's not giving your goods away. But I did not do free webinars and all that kind of stuff. And I think where our challenge comes in is that prior to all this, virtual had one word, and it was called a webinar, and it didn't have value. People paid very little for it. Sometimes it was just a lead generator to get a big back end. You know, there was all these different reasons why we did it. Now we are trying to reestablish the fact that virtual isn't something we just give away at a low fee. We actually, in my opinion, have to work harder than ever before. I was joking with a friend that there used to be a time where you got your speech ready. You went down in the elevator, you get on stage, you kick butt. And then the hardest thing was making sure you had an Uber waiting for you to get you to the airport, right? When the work was done, unless you're going to deep consulting. And for me, my mantra has always been get in, get out, get paid. I have never been a person that's going for the deep consulting contracts. Not that there's anything wrong with it. That's just not my model. Sure. Okay. All of that said, it's hard to stand tall in your fees right now because, in my opinion, it can be hard, especially if you're negotiating your own fees. I really believe that our bigger speakers, and I'm not going to name any people, but some very well-known speakers with a big fee, it's like, this is the number you need. If you want me, this is what you're going to pay. And you're talking to somebody else to make that happen. But in my situation, I'm a moderate level speaker. I'm doing all of my own sales. I do not have a team that's doing that for me. So now I'm the one that has to stand firm in what that number is. This is where I find hard. Is the clients seem to do a lot of shifting and a lot of making different requests than they ever did, especially if it's a pre-recorded video and you're my client and I send it to you and I think it is spot on and perfect, or otherwise I wouldn't have given it to you. And then you contact me and you say, Lori, that one little section, I wondered if you could pull that out and put this in instead. But the fact is they didn't buy the third package, the premium, which includes multiple revisions and high level customization. You couldn't afford that. I wouldn't say this to them. I'm just being mouthy to you because we can. Yeah. It's like you couldn't afford that. So you bought the basic or the deluxe package. And yet now here I am saying, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. My point being, we better get real clear in our language in the proposal and the contract so that you do stand tall in your prices. That was a long way to get there, but that's what I'm thinking.
Okay. So something in your agreement will say, you know, based on this package, you will be not having any revisions. The words no revisions will go in there so that, because we are in the Wild West, right? Clients are trying to figure it out. And we need to be kind of the leaders of, I think we need to be the leaders for them to help hold their hands and say, okay, this is what we've seen working. I love that you're selling packages. So let's circle back to fees. Here's what I think is happening a lot. Client calls and they're interested in this date for virtual and they want to know how much. Okay. So that's how we're talking a very much a transaction. You do this and we'll pay you that. And that's it. That's a, you know, for some speakers that might be $5,000. Okay. But what if you start talking to that client and you start assessing their needs while on the phone with them and you recognize that actually what they need is something bigger, that there is a package that you could provide them that is actually going to be less transactional and more transformational. It's going to get them more to the end of their goal. Your packages can say, okay, package one is exactly what you asked for, transaction. I do this one thing and then we're done. Package two is going to get you way closer to where you want to go. And package three is going to, you know, take you all the way to the end. Is that kind of in line with sweet spot pricing?
Well, oddly enough, it's exactly what sweet spot pricing was even before we were in this situation. Mm-hmm. So for me, I got lucky on that because I'd already perfected how it works for me. I just had to slide it into the virtual world. For those who have never offered packages before, I absolutely think you have to do this because I think even after we move back to live engagements, and we will, there will be a time when we go back. Well, there's already colleagues that are doing live work. Sure. And so when that exists, I think hybrid is going to last a long time. Hybrid, in my definition, is you're there live in front of some people, but you're turning to the camera and you're engaging those people who are out in the, you know, stratosphere somewhere. I think that's going to last maybe forever. And you know what? Good for us, because that's actually long overdue.
Yes, it really is. And I think people used to do it very, very poorly, whereas they wouldn't engage the listeners at home at all. And now I think, you know, when they have a host for those people, that host can really be in charge of making sure that they're having a good experience too. So let's talk about all of the things that we could be including. So let's put a live event as a part of the package, like way down the road, at a date to be named later.
And that's important. I have to interrupt just for a second because I don't want to skip over that too quickly. People are not thinking about this. I could sell you a package today. You're nowhere near ready to go live. Mm-hmm. You want from me one webinar. That's what you think you want. But through the sales conversation, I'm going to say, Jane, what if we go ahead and really put in an earmark for me coming live in 21, in the fall of 21, and no pressure. If by fall of 21, you still don't want to do it, we will just keep bumping it until you are.
Yeah.
I'm going to lock in that tentative date to the future. And I'll tell you, I put into my contracts now that I will reschedule with no penalty as often as you want. Some colleagues are like, no, don't do that. But for me right now, it's not a huge risk. If my calendar is ever back to full steam, I might have to reevaluate that. But today it's a tip factor. Sure. So anyway, I wanted to stick that in real quick because I think that's important.
And that's our goal, is to take the risk out of booking this for the client. And what I think we're selling is the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. We're selling the outcome, not the transaction, this one speech. And so if you're a leadership speaker and your goal is to really help a leader become, you know, a better communicator, a better team, you know, more influential with their team, well, is one 45-minute webinar really going to do that? Or do we want to do a series of things to try to get to the end game? And I think when we have that live one down at the end with the TBD date, that is just a beautiful thing. Let's talk about what you might do leading up to that live event that could help, you know, put your content into their culture.
Sure. Well, one of my favorite things that I always offer is a series of articles that they can use, whether it's for their internal newsletters. I have a couple clients that actually took my work and pumped it out to their members. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing association work, now it's going out to 200 banks as opposed to just one, you know, one mid-level bank. And so I really think that in the sales process is where this happens. I think a lot of speakers try to plan ahead. These are all the offerings. Here's my catalog. Here's all the things you can choose from. Now we need to plan that so that we're able to sell. But if you are my client, Jane, and you're running some associate, we'll call it a banker's association. Okay. I have not decided in advance what you need. If I'm a good salesman, I'm saying to you, tell me some of the things you're dealing with. And the second that you say, Lori, the motivation of our members is so low. They don't even know if they want to stay members of our association.
Right.
We're losing them. Bam. I'm not coming back with, why don't I do yet another webinar? I'm coming back with, look, I've got a six-pack of tools that helps re-engage members. Would that be something you're interested in? Right? That's the sales conversation.
Listen to that language, people. I've got a six-pack of tools that helps to re-engage members. And at the beginning of that, Lori came into the conversation not ready to sell something, but with curiosity. My friend Chris West always talks about approaching any sales conversation with curiosity. That's what got you there. You right. asked the question that got you to the place where you recognized their membership was disengaged.
Okay, and I'll take it one step further. This is in some of my other tools that I use that people don't think about, right? We all have a write-up of what our program is about, right? If you don't have one, you're probably not listening to this podcast yet, right? So a wealthy speaker has write-ups to each of our talks. But sure. The good news is those are not locked in stone.
Right.
So there might be a sentence in my write-up that says, I don't know, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but a certain sentence. And then when I talk to you, you use the line, we really need our members to get jazzed again. Right. When I send you that write-up, I'm going to pull out one sentence and I'm going to drop in, Lori's tools will help your members get jazzed again. And you're going to read that and go, oh my gosh, you're exactly what I'm looking for.
She knows us so well. That's fantastic. You are the solution to their problem. And when you are the solution to their problem, I mean, really all this takes is a lot of good conversation on the front end and asking some good questions, and then you can use their language back to them and be the solution. Okay, so we've got live event, series of articles. What are some other things we can offer?
Well, and again, it's only if it's in the wheelhouse of your speaker, but what about some one-on-one help? Okay, our tellers are just not as engaged as they should be. Well, we can do some one-on-one coaching with them if coaching is in somebody's wheelhouse. We can do several small group conversations. We'll do those quarterly, right?
Love
so
that.
We can all the different combinations. We can get really creative on how we're gathering your teams. Now that these platforms have all the interesting breakout rooms, what if I were to bring some colleagues with me, Jane? I've got two colleagues that absolutely excel in being able to blah, blah, blah. The three of us could come in and really create an interesting program. We call that an upsell to colleagues, right? I'm going to put that in my big package because that's going to cost you a lot more money to get me and two of my friends.
Colleague combo. Hey, and I want to recognize that we name everything.
Good.
So you've got like a small group coaching setup. We call those teller masterminds or whatever, you know, let's name everything so that they understand that these are your tools. It's almost like there's a little TM after everything you're saying. They're like, oh, wow, this person has a lot of cool tools and systems. And that's what we're after.
Oh, love my gosh, that is so important. Naming and packaging is critical. How many times have you seen a speaker that has some type of system, but they haven't put a name to it that makes me go, ooh, that's really interesting. Yeah. And then it can go the other way around. You got something that sounds really cool and it's the three steps of greeting somebody, but you've named it in a way that makes me think it's going to be really unique. That's critical.
Yes, it's so good. Now, of course, there are also different versions of webinars. I mean, maybe we call them something else altogether just to get away from that name, but it could be like deep dive brainstorming sessions or whatever. There's all kinds of different ways to be delivering your knowledge. You maybe could launch this whole thing with a keynote, and you could either do it recorded, or you could do it live, or you could do it recorded and then you be there while they're watching it and be communicating with them. There's all kinds of different ways that we're seeing that. And gosh, Lori, I have to tell you, I am getting so excited about how these virtual studios are starting to look. I just saw one of my clients, Judy Haller, the Fear Boss. She's sitting in the middle of this, what looks like kind of like a walk-in closet, only it's a library and it's all around her. And I think, wow, whoever set up that virtual shoot is, you know, it was like just a conversation with her, but it just looks so classy and beautiful. Well, I think that companies are going to keep doing that.
People are talking about how we have to get past the Zoom boxes. They were talking about that early on. We can't just be looking at you and listening to you talk. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really true. I want to go all the way to the other side of that, though. And I don't want speakers creating something that is so distracting. Mm-hmm. And like I'm walking into a neon arcade studio that I'm not really focused on content. And so I think people really need to think about, is it my content that they want to hear? I don't know how many of my clients care that much about what's blinking behind me if I can make their pens move. Or are you a speaker that's going to do amazing things physically that I need to see you doing that and it's less, or is it a blend? And I think the biggest thing is it's got to change frequently. I've seen a few speakers just do an amazing job of every 7 to 8 minutes, we're somewhere new. And now I'm stimulated and I want to pay attention. So I think that's important.
And I think stimulated versus distracted is probably where the line is drawn. I was interviewing someone who shall be remain nameless for the podcast. And I said, we're not going to do this on video. We'll just do it on audio. Well, thank goodness, because the whole time there was something going on behind him, which to me was very distracting.
Right.
So I was having a hard time, you know, and he does that in his presentations. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I hope you don't do that for the whole time, because I think that can be incredibly difficult for people to, we're ADD, right?
Right.
It's all we can do not to look at our phones or whatever else is going on around us. So I agree, Lori. And I think that that's something that we can all remember again and again, the difference between, you know, changing it up and being distracting. Good one. What else have we forgotten? So we've got lots of different ways to deliver a keynote. I think keynotes should be standing, and I kind of have my own ideas about that. But I kind of have a several sit-down type sessions that you could be doing. There's standing sessions, there's at home, there's in studio. And a lot of people, by the way, have been going to their local studios. Have you done anything in your backyard in terms of a studio?
I have not. I've lined up my local studio. I've worked with them in the past, so I could if I wanted to. But I'll be honest, that's my premium package. Mm. I am not going to go and spend the money in the studio unless we get into these higher dollars. And if we're looking at medium-sized dollars right now, I'm pushing the middle package. And I always have. That's what sweet spot means. I don't really want to go to the studio. If I can bring you what you need and hit the target, I really want to do it in my own style. My favorite way of selling right now is a pre-videoed, I call it a virtual experience. And the way I'm choosing to do it is it's 5 segments, and segment 1, 3, and 5 are pre-recorded perfectly, right? They're going to be exactly the way I want it to be. But segments 2 and 4 are 100% customized to you.
Mm.
So we're going to be sitting possibly in my just regular office setting, or I might be standing there, but it's much more, let's call it flip chart, dry erase board. I'm talking specifically to your
roll up your sleeves.
Yeah. So it's going to be, like, let's take what we learned in segment 1 and how does it apply to you, First Midwest Bank? And they're going to love that. And they're going to forgive the, what I'll call homemade look, because they really don't care, because now I understand you and what it is that you need. And I think this is going to work. But again, this is me previewing what I envision. As far as really getting out there and making that work, that's early for me yet because of my delay in standing still. Many of my colleagues are months and months ahead of me on this, but my thinking is they've already made a bunch of adjustments as they go, where for my feeling was, I want to kind of get it right coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
Do this over and over again. It's expensive and it's exhausting.
And I just want to circle back to your standing still for 1 second, because you know what? From what I know about you, Lori, you have been just driving. I think some people needed to sit still for a minute. They needed that break. They needed to decompress, and they needed to really look out at their business model and see which parts of it they loved and which parts of it they don't love. And that's the gift of COVID. If you want to take it, that's our gift, because you might have needed a bit of a break.
Well, I did. What's ironic, and several of us have laughed about this, you know, I was already trying to decide how many more years did I want to keep doing this, because we all have one thing in common that we get tired of: being on the road.
Yes, isn't that travel. Funny?
And so all of a sudden it was like, okay. But my whole thing is I wanted to decide when I was off the road, not the universe deciding for me. And so I've tried to do this. I'm not perfect about it, but I do try and do the guilt-free break and saying, it's okay. Yeah. I finished out my 2020, did not lose any jobs. All of them converted over to either a push or a virtual. So I felt like at least for this year, I'm going to hold my own. Now, 21, different story because I have not been out there selling. I'm not walking my talk. And so, like I said, it's only been the last couple of weeks. I'm going, all right, you got to pull something together, Lori, that works for your model, your superpower to your audience. And I think that's my overlying message for today. Yeah. What is it that you can do that fits your superpower, that fits your already tagged audience? Or do you have to change audiences like you asked me in the beginning? I'm not planning on changing audiences, but I can change delivery mechanism.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think a lot of people can keep their same audiences. Meredith and I had a long discussion about, you know, she already had her base of clients. And when the fire was lit, she ran into the fire to say, hey, I've got a hose. How can I help you? And that was very foresightful on her part. And I think it resulted in a lot of business.
Now, the one thing, Jane, that I want to circle back to before we, I don't know if you're leaving it yet, so I want to go back to it, is the standing tall in the fee thing.
Yeah, I do want to go.
I do believe that the clients think, now I'm making this up, but I think clients think because we're sitting at home in our shorts, that this is easy work and therefore doesn't have the value. When we sell, we've got to be focused on providing the solution to the pain and what value is that bringing to the organization?
Yes.
Right. So for example, I have a very deep online training tool that was in place long before this. I'd almost kind of forgotten how good it is because it was done 4 years ago. So it was already dusty in my mind, but not to people who've never heard about it.
Right.
So just recently it was sold to an organization. And when the lady called me back, it's a municipality. And she emailed me to say that the people had been using it for 3 or 4 months and she's hearing them do the things that the platform taught them to do. Mm. And she was so excited. And she said, best thing we've ever done. Then all of a sudden I'm saying, you know, here's the deal, that it was sold at a nice price to her, but she's getting the value out of it. So when it's time for me to sell it again, I shouldn't be saying, I've just got this little online thing. You can use it anytime.
Right.
I've got to create the value. And it all comes down to the words we choose. What value are we placing on what we're selling? And we can't make it seem like just because we're in shorts, this isn't hard work. Honestly, I think it's harder work than going down and performing on the stage. Certainly nobody claps when you're done. We do the stupid little wave, click off and go make dinner. It's a whole different kind of hard.
Yeah, it really is. And I think to back it up one step further, yes, it's the things that are coming out of your mouth when you're talking to the client, but it's actually your belief. It starts with the thought and belief that you have. My online course is the most kick-ass course that anybody's ever taken. This is what my client just said to me last week. Boom. Like, now you're giving them peer-to-peer reviews and you're talking about it in a way because you believe it. It has to start with that belief, don't you think?
Absolutely. And it brings me all the way back full circle where we started. When Maris said to me, if you think you had something of value before, yes, I do. Because if I didn't think it had value, then that might have been leading me down a very bad business path in the first place. So anybody listening to this, I think the first question you ask is, how much do I believe in what I am teaching? Do I believe in my own stuff? And if the answer is yes, then what are the words? Convince someone who's dying of thirst that you have the water. Yeah. What does that sound like? I would not be holding back water for you if I knew you were dying of thirst, unless I didn't think my water was any good. Right?
That's so good. And, you know, I feel like I've spent this last 6 months just reminding people of their value and their worth. And the people who are kind of have been with us, that one group in particularly, my Inner Circle Mastermind, they have been into it right from the get-go. I mean, people are asking them to do classes on virtual because they, not only did they embrace it, but they have been just killing it out there. And I'm so very proud. But I think us talking on a regular basis and making sure that those thoughts are shored up of their value, I think that can be really helpful. I think that's probably one of my biggest jobs as a coach right now, is to remind people of their value.
So let me be interviewer for just a brief moment. Hijack it away from you and say, think about the people in on your roster who are currently really killing it out there. Mm-hmm. Other than understanding their value, is there something specific that you see them doing that pulls them ahead of the competition? Anything specific?
I would say that at the beginning of it was the pivot. right? We looked at the thoughts about how they felt about virtual, and some kind of went into virtual kicking and screaming, right? But the minute they recognized that they still had great value to share with virtual and actually embraced it, if you're going around telling everybody you hate virtual, well, guess what? The universe is not going to provide you with a whole bunch of clients.
That's right.
So first they embraced it, made the pivot, set their offices up beautifully, got the technology all in place and invested. And then they went out with a consistent message and a consistent sales process to be able to capture. You know, Lori, for you, it's just going back to what you did in year one and planting seeds. And I bet you, for you, it'll be shaking the trees of all the clients that you've already worked with.
And here's the other big thing is that my favorite way to sell was always stage side selling. Finish, you come down off the steps and you hope that there's three or four people that want to talk to you.
Yes.
And out of those four people, I got to convert two. My goal was always 2-for-1 spin and I never have to pick up the phone. Right. Now, stage side selling has to begin to look different.
Yeah. So what's your version of that? What do we think you could be doing? See, I think people are missing a lot of opportunity in virtual. They're not asking for book sales. They're not asking for people to text to blah, 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 so that they can pull them into their database. And we need to be doing that.
So here's one of my favorite things. I've only done it twice so far, but okay. This conversation we're having is where my brain's going next. Okay. Is what replaces, because my business was built on Encores. And right. So I've got to figure out, I can't just wave and hit end meeting and have it be done. So here's my favorite is because most of the time we're recording this, right? Yeah. I can record and turn it into a transcript for nothing, for very, very little. Now what I can say to people is, if you want the entire transcript of this talk, along with, and then we're going to have add-ons. I don't know what they are yet, but it's transcript plus goodies, plus bonuses. We used to do this all the time, and I just kind of forgot about it over time. People are going to want that.
We do. They will. And we have to circle back to what worked in year one. Let me give you one more idea. Okay, so that's to pull people into your database, to keep them with you, to maybe buy products, buy books, things like that. Not all audience members are decision makers. But for those decision makers who are on the line with you, so let's say you have the bankers, the banking association, and it's all the bank. Now, for those of you who are leaders at your bank and you have blah, blah, blah problem, here's the link to book a 15-minute discovery call with me and we can blah, blah, blah.
Love it.
Okay, so now you're grabbing the names and email addresses of all the people who are on the line because we don't want to miss that opportunity. Maybe you put in a plug for a book somewhere along the line, but now you're also asking for, be very specific about who is the right person for this call. It's not for anybody. But if you're the leader at your bank and you're experiencing this problem, here's the link to book A. And that's right at the very end. They can just go in and book it right afterwards. And you'll know right from that, hey, I've got 5 calls scheduled.
We have to recreate the stage side selling.
Yes.
In any creative way that we can. And I noticed that right out of the gate, wow, we're just not getting spin business. And I know that the work is good. I'm getting the emails later that says the work is good. The meeting planner's happy. What's happening? Well, I'm not creating the mechanism. And that's exactly what you just said, that when I asked you, what are people doing? When you got to the end of those several steps, you said that they have the sales mechanism in place. Well, it has to be not only the mechanism that got me the job in the first place, but the post-event mechanism. What happens next to try to spend some business? And that's where I'm going to put my brain in the next couple months, trying to get more and more creative with that, where people have no choice but to want to reach out, not to be on your mailing list, but to engage in whatever format I want to offer.
I love it. I love it. This has gotten me all teary-eyed because I feel like we've helped some people today. And Lori, I want to do number three with you in about 8 or 9 months. Okay. About mid 2020. I want Monica, circle back to Lori, please. And let's get something set up because I want to hear what happened. We're going to schedule an update so that we can hear how it went. You know, I'm really very excited about 2021. And I do think there's actually going to be a backup, a glut. All the hotel rooms are going to get booked all at once and all the speakers are going to get booked all at once. And it's going to be a bit of a frenzy, I think, for a little while there. But it's much slower and it's so easy for us to kind of get down and want it to happen faster. But this is the land of opportunity. We have to be creative with it. Lori Guest, thank you so much for just giving us chock-a-block ideas here today. I really appreciate your time.
It's always a pleasure to be with you anytime. See you in 8 months.
Now, if people want to get in touch with you, what should they do?
They can always check out my website, which is myname.com, Lori Guest, and they got to check the spelling in your notes, your show notes, because I have a very weird last name, right? I'm a guest speaker. Do you know how long it took me to find the man whose last name is what I want to be?
Guest speaker.
Should have been looking
Way to
for
go, Lori.
Should have been looking for Tom Skinny, but that's what I have.
So. Oh, that's funny. You're hilarious, Tom Skinny.
Everything they need is on the website, Jane. So thanks for asking.
All right. Now, I want to give a shout out to Allie on the Beach, Nice Guys on Business, Kelly Jakes, Carol Schulte, H. Welps, and Jack Carr, I believe it is, for giving us some really lovely reviews. You know, Lori, sometimes we do these podcasts and we wonder, is anybody even listening? And then all of a sudden, it seems like all the reviews just kind of pop up. Anyway, we have those over at speakerlauncher.com. When you click on the podcast, you'll see all the reviews flowing in there now. And just made me so happy right before the show to go and see them there. And I wanted to give people a little shout out. So thanks if you're listening. And with that, we will say, see you soon, wealthy speakers. Bye for now, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to wealthyspeakerschool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.